Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another day of Fire on the Earth. I want to talk today about a theme I began to touch on last Friday, taken from a beautiful book written by Pope Benedict XVI called Jesus, the Apostles, and the Early Church. It's not a long book, it's very insightful, sort of page after page of insight into the person of Jesus, the apostles. And one of the distinct things he repeats various times in the book is how the apostles understood deeply in a life-transforming way who they were. They understood that in Jesus, they had received a new identity. We're living at a time when identity is sort of at the center of a lot of our cultural struggles. There's identity politics. Everybody's creating their own identity. People are crafting their own brand and trying to define who I am, and nobody can tell me who I am. I have to be the originator. I have to be the one who determines for myself who I am, and the whole point of life is for me to be the one who crafts my identity. And whatever I craft for myself, whatever identity I declare, is the identity that the whole world must recognize. And there's a kind of madness that surrounds all this at this point. And one of the things I don't think people see clearly enough is there's underneath it all, I mean, it's a desire to be known. It's a desire to have kind of a sense of authenticity and clarity. But really what's going on is another expression of the spiritual battle that we're living under. It ignores a fundamental truth about how God made all things. We're made in the image of God, right? We're made in his likeness. We are given an identity. It's not something that we create ourselves. It's not part of my human achievement, but it's something that I receive from God. And so, in a beautiful way, Pope Benedict XVI touches on that whole reality, that fundamental truth, which gives us a rock to stand on and gives us that clarity about who we are and the identity that we have from God becomes, he said, the source of deep joy in our lives and a profound sense of security. And what we can see in the culture as we're scrambling to manufacture new identities all the time, it expresses just the opposite, a great insecurity, which is why people want to use the arm of the law to make everybody accept whatever identity they want to project into the world. I just want to read a couple of quotes from the book and then touch on Scripture. And as Pope Benedict so beautifully does, he builds all of it on Scripture and Scripture's revelation, but he talks here specifically about Christian identity. He says, Christian identity is composed of precisely two elements. The first is this restraint from seeking oneself by oneself, but instead receiving oneself from Christ and giving oneself with Christ. So the idea that I'm seeking myself and I'm the one who discovers who I am on my own and I name it on my own, it's a solitary effort, so to speak. He said that Christianity is no longer restrained because it's a pattern of the world. It's the way the world looks at the human person. And so he's saying, but instead, we receive ourselves from Christ and we give ourselves with Christ. It's a beautiful thing. It's all tied to Jesus' incarnation, his passion, his death and resurrection, and what happens to us in baptism. The objective reality, something amazing happens. As John the Apostle in chapter 1 of his gospel, that beautiful gospel, said, all who believed in him, he gave power to become children of God. That Christian faith that is expressed first in baptism, there's some objective reality. Something happens in baptism. The old man, that is the one that's not clear about who I actually am and where I'm from, or maybe is living in a sinful state of resistance to God and not receiving our identity from God, that identity, the old man, is put to death in baptism. As Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, we're crucified with Christ. We die with Christ, and we're raised with Christ. Those can sound like, you know, nice theological terms, inspiring kind of stuff, but for many of us, it doesn't get this objective fact of what happens to us in baptism. The Pope says it doesn't get subjectivized. We don't bring it into our hearts and really receive it and believe it about ourselves, that I literally am a new creation. And the amazing thing he points out about the apostles is how much they lived with a new identity and putting on Jesus Christ, as Paul says, It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. They understood that something actually happened. A transforming work of God's power happened in each and every one of them. And now they laid hold of that identity. They received it and they took it on as their own. It wasn't something that just existed in the Bible out there somewhere, and then they were left to kind of flounder and create for themselves and figure out who they were. In fact, they knew exactly who they were. They were men and women born again, brought from death to life in the person of Jesus Christ. And the key is, the Pope says, what they understood is something happened in them by God's action through the power of the Holy Spirit. When they became children of God now, they belong no longer to themselves. They belong no longer to the world, that fallen dimension of human existence that insists on its radical autonomy apart from God. And they no longer belong to the devil. Remember, Jesus said, the devil has no hold on me. Guess what? Every human being is born into sin. It's the reality of the fall. We're born in a relationship that's of hostility to God, and it's only the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and that reality given to us in baptism. We undergo a dying, that old man, which is hostile to God, which Paul literally talks about in Romans chapter 5. He says it this way, since therefore we are now justified by his blood, that is, made right with God, set right with God, much more shall we be saved from the wrath of God. If while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. So his death, the shedding of his blood, cleanses us from sin. Sin is the reality that is at work in us that separates us from God. And Paul says, we're destined for God's wrath, is the way he put it here. And that the actual condition of our lives is that we're enemies of God. Because what? Our identity, our nature, is trapped in that sin-sick nature that separates us from God. And what needs to happen in us is that old man needs to be put to death and something entirely new needs to be brought to life. And I think this is a confusion that's all over the place, not just in the broader culture, but even in the church among people, that we fail to recognize the reality of original sin and what original sin is. We're born into the original state we're born into is a state of hostility to God. As Paul would talk about it, that it's a state that leaves us without hope in the world. We don't have a future of life and freedom, but a future of sin and bondage and decay and ultimately eternal separation from God. Jesus came to break that whole regime of power that dominates the human person. And so baptism is the place where that fundamental break happens. Something is put to death. That's that old man and the domination of the world and the flesh and the devil that he has, that they have on each person, and something entirely new comes to be. And that entirely new person, that new creation, comes to be because Jesus, the one who was never subject to the world, the flesh, and the devil, the one that the devil had no hold on, the one who was absolutely sinless, he broke the power, he broke the back of the devil, he broke the hold of the enemies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. He became a sacrifice for each of us on the cross. He shed his blood so that his offering to God of total obedience and love, which all of us were called to offer to God, and in fact, he died the death that I was going to die, but he also lived the life I was made to live, which was a life of complete surrender and trust to God. So God raised him up. We'll talk later this week about the beautiful hymn from Philippians chapter 2, talking about God highly exalting his beloved son, Jesus. And the Father gives Jesus the power to give to anyone he chooses the indestructible life, the resurrected humanity, the new creation that's in him, the new thing that God the Father has planned for salvation is in a person, it's in Jesus. And in our baptism, Jesus, by his command, by his word, by the authority of the church, that new life that belongs to Jesus is given to us. And so Pope Benedict says, this is an objective fact. You're brought from death to life. You were aliens and strangers. You were enemies of God, but now, by God's grace, you become children of God. That's a fact. It's an objective fact. He said, the wonder of the apostles is how much that objective fact became the dominant subjective experience of their life. They lived with that identity, and they walked in it. And the Holy Father puts it this way. He said, moreover, our radical belonging to Christ, which the apostles laid hold of, and the fact that we are in him, must imbue in us an attitude of total trust and immense joy. In short, we must indeed exclaim with St. Paul, if God is for us, who can be against us? He said, therefore, our Christian life stands on the soundest rock one can imagine. And from it, we draw all our energy, precisely as the apostles wrote, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Let me read that again. Our Christian life, therefore, then stands on the soundest rock one can imagine. And from this fact, we draw all our energy, precisely as St. Paul the Apostle wrote, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. We can see so clearly how the objective fact of what Christ has done for them became a living reality in their mind, in their heart. They had renewed minds. They had new hearts, had deep trust and confidence in God, and they understood their identity. There was no confusion. They didn't walk around saying, who am I? You know, somebody please tell me who I am. They knew who they were. John Paul II used to say, quoting Gaudium et Spes, a document from the Second Vatican Council, and his own encyclicals and others, he mentioned at various times that man is incapable of understanding himself fully without Christ. Jesus reveals the mystery of humanity to the human race. Who are we? Why are we here? How can we find happiness and fulfillment? What's our purpose? Which is what's going on in the country, a kind of constant ache in the human heart today to say, who am I and where am I going? What is a human being? How will we ever find happiness? How can we escape the chaos and confusion of this world? There's a panic. There's a deep anxiety. There's a profound sense of isolation and fear that grips so many people. And guess what? No money, no power, no tax break, no successful achievement in this world is going to bring peace to the human heart. None of it is going to be able to give us the confidence we need to know really deeply who we are. Because if I'm the originator of my own identity, then I know deep down that I've made it up. It's make-believe. I created it myself. Or that I purchased it from Madison Avenue or Hollywood or some other place. Friends, the only place we'll find security and identity, and this is what Jesus wants to give you. He wants you to know who you are so deep within yourself that you have that profound trust that produces great joy and gives you an energy to live each day with confidence in God and great hope. God bless you, friend. Go forward this day. Lay hold of your identity and don't let anybody take it from you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.